Moncrief on News Talk.
Answer it within five rings. Remember exactly that amount of money and we will give it to you. And then you can have guns all over your house. Mary McAvoy and Declan Buckley joined us once again.
I remember a time it was only 30 cents for a text to News Talk.
No, but that was, it still is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay. This is for the competition.
This to is win for the raffle.
Oh, I stand corrected.
Yeah. That's sorry. You know, that's how that works. Okay. Sorry, but I'll
listen to Eddie Hodge over there.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Wow.
Gorgeous.
He is.
Part-time economist.
The price of everything and the value at nothing.
Yeah, I'll send your comments upstairs.
Thank you. Julie, it's been nice working with you.
Yeah. Anyway, here's the first question. I recently went on a trip to London with three of my friends and it didn't exactly go to plan. It's a rare occurrence, but all four of us get to meet up together. Usually we're split into pairs whenever we get the chance to catch up. We planned this trip months in advance. We're already looking forward to it, but it ended up being a disaster. The majority of us are fairly laid back, so we kept our plans and bookings loose to decide on things together. However, one of my friends completely took over and essentially forced us into whatever activity she wanted to do. It's always good to have one person in a group who's organised, but this was on a different level. I'm not exaggerating when I say she would throw a tantrum if we didn't want to do something she had planned, and would flat out refuse any of the ideas we brought to the table. She has no siblings, and her behaviour was a perfect example of only child syndrome. It's so strange because she never acts like this one-on-one. It's only whenever we're in a group. And even still, this was the worst it's ever been. Since the holiday, we've all made a separate group chat without her. We're all in agreement that her behaviour was out of line and we need space. None of us want her to come on holiday again. But is this realistic or fair on her? How do we address the situation without it seeming like we're ganging up on her? Which, of course, they haven't done so far.
No, of course not. Yeah, exactly. By excluding her from the communications.
Yeah, as an only child, I would like to tell you, get back in your box, Mrs.
Yes. Justice for the only child.
Yes, exactly.
Children, only children.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Obviously there's been a lot of diagnosis about what the behaviour was, and then the analysis that it means that it's because she's the only child, she's the one with the problem, she's the one that behaved badly. I don't know what the tantrums were. What is a tantrum? Is
exactly.
it somebody going no, or is it somebody literally like rolling around the floor of a restaurant, banging the ground, going,
yeah.
I won't.
You pay cash money for that. That'd be great.
Yeah. But regardless of what was actually going on, the time to set your boundaries when people are acting unreasonably, if possible, is in the moment where you actually, you actually call out the crazy childlike behaviour when it's happening. And you also say what it is you think should be happening. Because it's all very well and good to be in a moment going, I don't like how this is all panning out. But unless you have an alternative suggestion in the moment, then you're actually complicit, regardless of whether or not you're the originator of the idea. If you can't say easily to somebody, no, I don't like this idea because X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to go along with this kind of, and then passive aggressively make a WhatsApp group with everybody else who didn't make a decision and bitch you later. That's not very mature behaviour either. I think group dynamics are way different because the letter writer compares what this person is like on a one-on-one basis. I think some people on a one-on-one basis are much better at managing the social cues required to get, you know, a negotiation to a conclusion. Whereas when there's a lot of people around, they kind of might not, maybe because they're an only child, have the experience of dealing with large groups of people. I'm calling bullshit on that one personally.
Yeah, it is bullshit, yeah.
I think the reality of it is, though, is that if the holiday was a complete disaster because somebody's behaviour was out of control, then yes, you are kind of entitled to say, I no longer wish to go on holiday with you. And because I'm an adult, I'm going to say that in some form to your face. That it was, as you probably remember, it was a bit kind of crazy. You know, you weren't happy with some of our suggestions. So therefore, it's clear to us that what you want to do when you're on holiday is different to what I want to do. And a lot of people are like that. I have loads of friends who I'm really close to who I could not go on holiday with because just what they want to do on holiday is completely different. In fact, with my partner, I had a long negotiation of kind of trying to work out what our ideal holiday format was because we have slight different desire yeah. isn't, you know, I'm yeah. not able to lie around a pool because I'm, you know, a bit of a wildfire kind of person, whereas that's what Angie wants to do, is just sit there and chill. So, yeah. we have to kind of,
so are you like climbing mountains and stuff?
I want to go to places and do stuff. I'm not necessarily hiking up through yeah. like gorgeous yeah. gorgeous mountains.
You should have seen the gorge I was in today.
It was so gorgeous. But no, I like to cultural place. I like going into museums and art galleries yeah, yeah. and castles and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I need to balance that with a bit of, you know, I do yeah, like to wind take, down yeah. and swim in the sea and that kind of stuff. Anyway, but the bottom line is that if you're unable to express your desires, or if you're confusing your wants with your needs, you can often end up in a group situation by being a bit annoying because you don't know which battles to fight. So yeah. You kind of fight them all.
But what's confusing for me is that they know her. So yeah. they would know her behaviour.
Yeah.
If, you know, and so they would know.
I'm confused about that because they say at the start, we'd planned this trip yeah. months in advance. So they planned it. So what happened in between?
She also says that they hang out together more often in groups of two than yeah. they do with yeah. a group. And maybe yeah. maybe there are no group of school friends.
But is that not, if somebody starts behaving in a bad way, is that, you know, or it's not bad way, but in a hard to deal with way, is it not just, is there something going on? You seem very anxious and you don't want to do it. Are you sure?
In the moment, yeah. That's what you have to call it out in the moment.
Then she wouldn't be insulted yeah. by it. Just say, you're okay, because you're a bit hyper here, you know, we just want to do this and then we'll do that and whatever. You know, so there may be something seriously going on. Certainly not because she's an only child, you know, because only children are quite the opposite. I tend to go, oh, whatever, you know, I'll do whatever. But I do get the thing about not picking up the social, only children aren't very good at dealing with kind of conflict and stuff like that, you know, where sisters and brothers would be fighting over whatever, but, you know, only children are not good at
fight
like
is
that.
Very dramatic.
Yes, for
but
them.
But this is kind of the opposite. The person opposite, who's sorry, having the yeah. fight is actually the only child. Yeah. So that's kind of like, that flies in the face of that particular pop psychology. So yeah. I'm not buying that at all.
No.
I think all it is that actually the passive aggressive people have a case to answer as well. As the people who are in the side WhatsApp group who in the moment were maybe back behind their hands, rolling their eyes or kind of whispering to each other. Everybody had a failing in a communication sense there, in that it wasn't above board and somebody got their way. And then the other ones are annoyed after the fact and kind of now labelling it with all kinds of, you know, psychological issues.
Well, I mean, I can't see why it couldn't have been done like the way you do with your partner. Like they say they get on okay in groups of two. Why couldn't they say, well, sure, we'll go there and we'll go there and tomorrow it's somebody else and we'll all get together for dinner or whatever. It's not a big, that I don't, I think it would be quite easy to manage it. But I do think if this girl's behaviour is a surprise to people and they weren't ready for it, then there is something going on.
Well, we can assume it was a surprise.
Yeah.
So, and it could have been, you're right, it could have been because she was in a group of four and she wasn't used to that and she finds that difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
But being away on holiday,
is she okay? Rather than cutting her out of the WhatsApp group.
I think being on holiday is stressful for some people, you know, it's so dramatic.
Yeah.
You have time limits on how much you can spend on time. It's expensive, so it feels like there's a big burden on it. You know, this has to be fun, you know, that kind of thing. You know, you almost kill yourself trying to have fun.
Yeah.
And all of those other pressures that come to bear that can you know, manifest as itself in maybe unusual behavior, you know, from somebody. Again, I come back to the point where I think if you fail to call it out in the moment, you are unfortunately then complicit with the decisions that the group makes going in that moment. Mm. You can't cut somebody over that decision, but in the future you can stop yourself from being in a situation where that kind of thing happens again.
I think, Declan, though, you have to have a certain degree of skill at that. Do you know what I mean? Because in the moment they're probably going, WTF, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
And then you can kind of go to the rational part of your brain that'll sort of, you know, talk it out. So, look, forget about London. I would actually check up on her and see if she's okay. And if she's okay, then she's a weapon. But if she's not okay, it's not right to sort of cut her out.
Yeah, a lot of comment about this. Hate to break it to your panel. Do you, though? But there is such a thing as only child syndrome. My best friend is like this. When you have siblings, well, there you go. That's proof there.
Enter into evidence.
My Jane. Best friend. I present to you, Harvard professors. When you have siblings, you have to learn to share, compromise, and not get your way. As an only child, you learn a different set of life skills. Not saying either is better or right, but it happens. But that presupposes that, you know, you learn something up to the age of 16 or 17 and you never learn anything else for the rest of your life.
But it's also, I'm going to call again, I'm going to call bullshit on that, because what is actually happening here is that people who aren't the people who aren't only children are the ones who seem to have the flaws in negotiation style. I know, again, there's a lot of subtleties that we do that we learn in negotiation, but not being able to be forthright and say, actually, you know, we need to make a compromise here.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty basic communication, I think. I agree with you that sometimes people don't want confrontation, and maybe they realise, oh, we're very much on top of each other's shoulders for the next 24 hours or weekend or whatever. So there are a lot of pressures on relationships that happen that way that wouldn't be in your normal day-to-day social interactions.
Yeah. She's clearly selfish as somebody else. Imagine going on a friend's holiday only to bitch and moan the whole way through. Must have been very annoying to deal with. Someone else wonders, could it be the case that this girl did all the planning and that the other three did not comment until it was time to execute the plan? In that case, she is right to be frustrated with them. Someone else says, this is a classic example of why you should always holiday alone.
Best holiday I ever had was a holiday alone.
I want to go with that person.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you don't. Travelling in a group is hard. You have dynamics to think about. Maybe the majority of the people in the group had common interests and she felt like the outsider. That may have been a factor there.
I do think that there is a personality type that likes to go, they're very laid back, and in the laid backness of their attitude towards a weekend away, there's a chance that nothing will happen. And then you do need somebody who's kind of pushing things along. And it depends on what their personality is like, how far they want to push it.
But then she didn't want to do what they wanted
to do. They wanted to do, because they wanted to do something. Oh, what do you want to do? Oh, they don't know. Yeah. So that's really frustrating.
That's the thing.
That's really annoying.
Not giving me the pip. Yeah. I must say, I would be the one who will book right. And now I let people know I'm booking this right. Is that okay? Yeah. But like, I don't want to arrive there and then, what do you think about that? I don't know. Should we go?
I hate that.
And then you go, let's go this place. Oh, it's
okay,
full.
Can we go on holidays with you then?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so easy for that to happen though. I remember I wanted to book a restaurant on the first night we went on holiday to Bangkok years ago. And because we've been a bit, you know, we're having one of our negotiations. Don't be so organised about things, okay, so we didn't, and as a result we end up walking the streets of this mad city. We're going, we don't know what's going on, and we end up at this crazy restaurant having a horrible time, so we'll never do that again because I was right.
Yeah, absolutely. Travelling with someone is the most testing thing to do. My relationship nearly broke up when I went on my first holiday with my now wife. Sounds like your one is stroppy all the same. Maybe the others needed to be organised as somebody else, perhaps the same person who are complaining and are indecisive. And it took one person to make the decisions. I say this as an only child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone else says, it can be frustrating when you go on a trip and your friends overplan activities. Happened to me in Germany recently. I had to plan my day around Euro football games when I hate football. Well, in fairness, you should have seen that one coming.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. And Declan and Mary are overthinking this. Your one is a bollocks. There you go.
Me overthinking? No.
I've never overthought
the last definitive word there. My family and I have been supporting our jobless father for as long as we've been working. I should clarify that our father is not able to work, but is simply
lazy.
Is simply lazy. And has a drinking problem. After my parents' divorce in 2018, my mother obviously became free of this imposition, but my sisters and I still carry the burden. After the divorce, our father moved in with his sister, and when she died in 2021, we bought her house so that he had somewhere to live and would not be homeless. Our father now has plans to remarry, and we assume he... I'm sorry. We shouldn't be laughing, but like,
is that going
hardly
on?
A catch there, is it? Yeah. Our father now has plans to remarry, and we assume he intends to move his younger new wife into the home we're paying for. How can we tell him that it's time for him to support himself and find somewhere else to live?
It's time for you to support yourself and find somewhere else
to live.
That's
boom.
What you said. There you go. There's no mystery, no overthinking. He is taking the pee, absolutely, absolutely. And I would tell him, and it's, you know, he doesn't want to work, he's lazy and he has a drink problem. Maybe there needs to be an intervention. Maybe you need to all get together and be very strong and very, you know, this is our house. And if you weren't able to work, it's one thing, but you are able to work and you drink too much and whatever. So you've got to do something about it, or else you're going to have to sling your hook. Because a lot of people, when they come up against an addiction of some, and that, maybe he's not an alcoholic and he just drinks too much. Mm. But when somebody is kind of habitually doing something like drinking, they do fall into the very manipulative way, so they can keep on going, and yeah, they will keep on going until somebody calls them on it. And I think what they have to do is put him in a situation where he really does have to shape up for his own sake as much as for them and their house. Do you know, because he's going to wreck, unless the woman is, you know, quite happy to be with a lazy over drinker that has no sort of desire to contribute to society, but it's not going to be very pleasant for her either. And he realizes that he's got a cushy one, mm-hmm, and he needs to be told very strongly and very, you know, well, maybe with a bit of advice that he seeks help about his drinking, but he needs to be told. And that's how you tell him. You just tell him. There's no way about it, because he would try to get out of it as well.
It's that thing, isn't it? It's that weird blend between where love and compassion and care intersects with doing stuff to enable somebody in their addiction or their problem. And it's the same old story that many people who have loved ones who are, you know, addicted or, you know, are over using substances or alcohol. You kind of have to find a space where you go, this is what I think is right for you and this is how I can support you. Mm. But at the same time, I can't actually endorse this.
Yes.
So if they bought the house, by buying the house, they mean that they're all contributing ongoing to a mortgage that then facilitating their father to bring in another person, whoever this person is, and maybe there's another dependent that they're creating for themselves. That's just a mess waiting to happen. And they know the answer and they know what it is. And they know that actually just the part where they've been enabling his lifestyle is actually not fixing him in any way.
No, not at all.
To be kind of a bit of a, more of a kind of a, I hate the expression, but tough love it kind of vibe love, where you just got to go, it's a no from us. And if they are like, because if they're continuing to invest in his lifestyle by paying the mortgage into the future, that's kind of, they do have a lot of say in that scenario. Hmm. Whereas if they've already kind of given him the house and the house is paid for and done for and he's now living there, they have the capacity just to kind of withdraw from his choices because, you know, he's an adult.
Have a mortgage on that house, you see. That's the other thing.
Well, I mean, she says that they're paying for, so I assume they have
still
a mortgage on it.
Yeah.
Now, I assume they own the house.
Yeah.
It seems to be. But they are, it's enabling him.
Yeah, it is really enabling
and
him.
They have been enabling him all this time.
And
it's really hard to, that balance between protecting somebody and enabling them is very, there's a very thin line there. You go, I want to make sure they're okay. They need to have a roof over their head, even though, you know, they're using or they're drinking or whatever. But I want them to have a roof over their head. So I'll pay the rent, I'll put food in the fridge.
But the thing is, he's the father. Do you know what I mean? And he's not working. He's able to work. Do you know, I really feel that, you know, that it is a form of child abuse. They're taking their kid. He's taking their kid's money and their property and he's doing what he likes about it when he is the one that should have provided for his kids. Do you know what I mean?
It's all
reversed. And therefore, that makes me think that he's not a very nice person. And I think if you actually put down the law, if you say what you want, shape up, or I'm sorry, we're not going to fund your lifestyle anymore, he'll shape up and he'll do very, very well. Because that's usually what happens, unless you're absolutely tragically in the throes of alcoholism or any other addiction. They usually kind of pull themselves together and get up and they're fine, you know. So
yeah, the thing is, though, I mean, I don't know what the situation is. He paying them rent? Are they his landlords? Evicting somebody from a house?
No,
might get very messy.
Well, yeah,
especially if it's your dad.
Yeah, I think an intervention about the drink and the not working, because he says he's able to work. So, you know, what's his excuse for not looking for a job? Do you know
what is their excuse for not having this problem before they bought the house? Do you know this problem existed already? It seems to me that this isn't so much about about his ongoing situation as it is about this new encroacher coming in and also freeloading
on their
love and consideration. Because a lot of people who are children of people who have drink problems, whatever, have this kind of weird codependency with the problem, is that they kind of end up, you know, accidentally enabling it because all of that stuff that you're talking about the parent role being kind of distorted, means that they end up almost taking on that role. Now everything gets all squished and weirded out, and then they end up doing stuff like this where they're funding the lifestyle that's actually hurting them so badly. And you kind of they need to have a really good hard look at what they're doing to damage themselves. Because again, like the guy's going to be with this woman or not.
I wonder,
whatever,
have they
way.
Spoken to the woman? Do they know the woman? Is it worth talking to the woman?
I assume so. A few people are suggesting they talk to the woman, but we don't know what the woman's attitude is.
Where did he meet the woman from? And like, is she also in a similar situation?
I don't
think so. I think it's direct. It's the two way.
Well, he didn't meet her at work. We know that for sure.
That's what I'm saying. To the water cooler moment there.
It's going to be hard, but I suppose there's always that worry when you're the child as well, is that you don't want them to. Because they wanted him to have some place to live. They don't want him to hit rock bottom. Yeah. That's an awful thing to have to witness. But maybe he kind of needs that.
Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom to kind of wise up.
Yeah.
Because they've tried everything before. I mean, they've done a lot already. They don't really need to feel guilty for the support that they've given up so far. Mm. But sometimes that needs to be pulled away.
And then there's the love of the child for the father and all of that. It makes it very awkward to be tough. But sometimes I think you just say to yourself, it's actually for his good that we're saying this, you know, because God knows what would happen 10 years hence, you know, to him if he doesn't sort himself out.
I'd appreciate your opinion on an issue involving my husband and our next door neighbours. We're very friendly with the family next door. Their children are the same ages as ours, and we're often each other's houses for get-togethers throughout the year. Recently, the husband next door was reversing out of his driveway and didn't see my car parked by the curb. He scraped the front bumper and immediately came in to notify me of his mistake. I told him it was fine as the damage is minimal. My husband went to get the job priced and says it will cost a couple of hundred euro. He wants to ask our neighbours for the money, but I'm so against him doing this. The damage doesn't really bother me, and I've also tried to remind him that our son broke a glass panel in our neighbour's door last summer when the kids were playing football. My husband claims it's different when it's children's mistakes, but that our neighbour is responsible for paying in this instance. Am I mad to think we're even considering our son's mistake? I really don't think it's worth falling out with over friends for a couple of hundred euro.
Yeah, I agree with her. Choose your battles. And as they've already pointed out there, it swings both ways. The kid broke a window, and if every little thing that you did to your neighbours was like itemised on the list, you'd end up, you have a very transactional type of relationship. I think the goodwill and the friendship that you have with the thing, it's like if your husband had done it to your car, would you be kind of going, you know?
Yeah.
And you've already said it doesn't matter, it's okay. So you'd be going back on what you've already said as well. You know,
and it happens, I think it's on the bumper, which is the part of the car that's actually designed
for that kind of thing. Yes.
And I would actually go and find a good panel beater, because if he's a couple of hundred euros, sounds extortionate to me to get a bumper, kind of, if there's not very much.
I think it's just a scratch. It's like somebody doing a bit of paintwork as well.
Yeah, that's all it is. Because everybody, you know, everyone will overprice a job. So go on, get another opinion, and it'll probably cost you 50 quid somebody to do it just as well as they're probably going to say and replace the bumper, you know. That's probably
they do to have it perfect looking rather than just spray over it and there's an old dent in it.
I'm sure what harm about that.
You can also argue it was her bad parking. If he was reversing out of his driveway.
You're going to be living beside them. Look, pick your battles, and honestly, I would let that one go. Really. And also, it's not a kid's mistake. If it's your kid, you're responsible for your kid. So technically, you know, it is.
They were let off the hook the last time. Yeah, so I agree with that too. But I also, I do think that, you know, obviously if the thing that happened was substantial damage and there was clear gross negligence or something happening, that's a different scenario. Whereas these little prongs and prings happen. Like, I live in a street where it's quite densely parked cars, and these things happen all the time. People knock off people's side view mirrors and stuff. And if everybody was to come out and go, you know, that's going to cost you 25 quid or whatever, nobody in the street would be speaking to each other, which we're not.
which is going to be a bad thing.
Ooh, I know bitch. We are.
Don't get the car fixed. The neighbour will notice and be scarla. Husband sounds like a cheapskate. Also, the wife told him it's fine. Legally, you can't go now. Hasn't a leg to stand on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I suppose maybe legally, you can't, but you know.
Yeah,
you
but also just for the sake of the social graces and living peacefully.
Because he did offer to pay,
neighbor.
And in that moment, you know, she decided that it wasn't worth it. Her instinct was correct, I think, and it's done now. If he starts banging in the car every second week, obviously, then
that's a very different thing.
Is it a men in car thing?
Do you know something? I was going to say that.
Does
and
he
I didn't
man
want
feel
to be
his
told
penis has been injured by this
or his checkbook?
Yeah,
I was going. I was going to say it's a very man woman thing. The woman says, "I look at his grant," and the man says, but then I didn't want to be sexist. But you're sexist too, so that's great.
So there you go.
I'm exonerated.
We're all agreed on that one. Mary and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.